Well, it's Christmas. Amen?
Amen.
So, obviously, we're going to have a Christmas reading coming from the second chapter of Luke. About that time, Caesar Augusta ordered a census to be taken throughout the empire. This was the first census when Quirinius was the governor of Syria. Everyone had to travel to their own ancestral hometown to be accounted for. So Joseph went to the Galilean town of Nazareth up to Bethlehem in Judea, David's town, for the census. As a descendant of David, he had to go there. He went with Mary, his fiancée, who was pregnant. Okay, this is starting out to be a really good story, right? I mean, anyway. While they were there, the time came for her to give birth. She gave birth to her son, her firstborn, and she wrapped him in a blanket, laid him in a manger, because there was no room at the hostel. All right. So, I told people this week, I got this joke from somebody, that it was a Christmas joke, that I was going to tell our church. I wanted to tell it to First Christian Church, but they wouldn't get it, right? At least for this. But the whole thing, there was a lit teacher was teaching his class how to write short stories, okay? You know, and for their final, they had to write a short story. It had to include these three elements: God, sex, and mystery. Now, there was, Dana, you've already heard the story, so don't. Anyway, there was only one short story in that entire class that got an A+. And I'm going to tell you that story now. You ready? Oh my God, I'm pregnant. I wonder who did it.
God.
Amen. Christmas story. What can I say? Anyway, listen. I got to practice the message last night as part of the meditation. When you heard that, I know that we've kind of, well, okay, she was engaged and she was pregnant. And we always talk about the birth, but there's another part of this story that I think that we don't pay enough attention to. And that's where the birth took place. It took place outside. It took place in a cave. Because why? You know, we just say this as if it's no big deal. There was no room in the inn. Now, I mean, think about this for a few moments. They have traveled all this distance on a donkey, no less. She is pregnant. She is getting ready to have a child. I've never had that experience, but I've been around people when it gets close to that time. They're really uncomfortable.
And they don't travel.
And I would imagine as they got into Bethlehem, you know, it wasn't the first inn that they went to. Hey, have you got room? No. We're sold out, because there was this whole census going on, this whole political thing. Amen. That was going on. I don't know how many that they had to go to. And by the way, understand, in the day, it was much easier to walk into somebody's home and them give you a place to stay, because that was part of Jewish tradition, was that you treated travelers with the utmost respect. And if they stopped at your house, then you gave them at least a meal, you gave them an opportunity to wash up, and a bed. So by the time they get to the inn, everything is full. Now, the story that I told last night was, you know how they do Christmas pageants in all the mainline churches about this time of year? And you know, Christmas pageants, everybody holds their breath, do they not? Because when you're dealing with kids that are from like the age of 5 on up to young teenagers, anything can go wrong. Well, this one particular church had this pageant. It was a progressive church. They were an affirming church. So they wanted to make sure that everybody had an opportunity to be a part of the play. And there was this one young man who, well, he was just very shy. You know, he'd get in front of people and he couldn't talk very well. And his memory wasn't very good. And let's just face it, you know, he wasn't exactly, I suppose, the brightest bulb in a collection of light bulbs. But they wanted to make sure that he could participate. And so they gave him the one thing that he could do. They made him the innkeeper. And he only had one line. There is no room in the inn. That's all they had to say. There is no room in the inn. And he was excited by having that part. He went home, he practiced it, he stood in front of the mirror. There is no room in the inn. There is no room in the inn. There is no room in the inn. He had it down pat. And then the pageant happens. The church is full, everybody's there. Joseph walks up to him in character and says, "Sir, my wife is feeling poorly and she is with child. Do you have a room for us?" And Joseph, to help him out, decided to walk towards the stable to give him kind of a hint as to what was going on. And as the guy's walking towards the stable, he panics and he looks up and he goes, "Oh, to hell with it. Come to my house. I got plenty of room." That story got me to thinking, there's no room in the inn. See, God knew what God was doing. Because, you know, look, let's face it. Anybody who's got money, anybody who's important, there's plenty of good hospitals they could be born in. Amen? There's ambulances that'll take you there. You'll get an escort. Remember Patricia Nixon? She got married in the White House, for God's sakes. Amen? The president coming in, Donald Trump, you know, ain't no problem for him. If one of his kids, you know, they're going to be no problem. And this is supposedly a king that's coming. And yet, there was no room. I think that God was trying to already ask us a question. Amen. And here's the question. Is there room in your life for Jesus? Amen. There's no room in the inn. But is there room in your life? It's a question that we don't often deal with at Christmas because what? We've turned it into this whole menagerie of getting gifts. You know, part of Pastor James's meditation was the family had gathered and they're looking all, through all these gifts, okay? And they're tearing off the packages and everybody's all happy. And there's one gift left. And they opened up that gift, and in that box there was nothing. And they said, "There's nothing in here." And a little girl said, "No, there's love in that box. That's what you need." And it occurred to me that that's what God has done at Christmas time. Through the birth of Jesus the Christ, has given us what we need. And so the question for us this morning becomes a matter of simply this. Is there room in your life for Jesus? You know, and it's kind of difficult if we're honest about it, because what has Jesus taught us? If we need Jesus, if we need that unconditional love, what's that all about? Well, let's see, there's feeding the hungry, there's clothing the naked, there's visiting the sick and in prison, and oh yeah, those people that really tick you off. Well, there's this thing called forgiveness. It occurred to me that the Christmas story is really all about how much of Jesus do we let in. That's God's gift to us. Unconditional love, right there, in plain sight. Is there room in your life for this Christmas season for Jesus and what Jesus teaches. Now, I shared with them last night that one of the things that helped me realize that Jesus was this really cool guy. And matter of fact, I was a little bit younger than Genesee when I first heard this, but at least up in Chicago, every Christmas Eve, they read this poem on the radio just before midnight, just to make a point about Jesus. So I'm going to share that poem with you, because first of all, I hadn't seen it around in a while, and maybe you've heard it before, but hopefully, after you hear it, it will help you get in tune with whether or not there's room in your life for Jesus. Here's a man who was born in an obscure village, the child of a peasant woman. He grew up in another village. He worked in a carpenter shop until he was 30. And then for 3 years, he was an itinerant preacher. He never owned a home. He never wrote a book. He never held an office. He never had a family. He never went to college. He never put his foot inside a big city. He never traveled 200 miles from the place that he was born. And he never did one of those things that usually accompany greatness. He had no credentials but himself. And while still a young man, the tide of popular opinion turned against him. His friends ran away. One of them denied him. He was turned over to his enemies, and he went through the mockery of a trial. He was nailed upon a cross between two thieves. And while he was dying, his executioners gambled for the only piece of property that he had on earth, his coat. And when he was dead, he was laid in a borrowed grave through the pity of a friend. 20 centuries have come and gone. And today, he is the centerpiece of the human race and the leader of a column of progress. Amen. I am far within my mark when I say that of all the armies that have ever marched, all the navies that were ever built, all the parliaments that ever sat, all the kings that ever reigned, put together, have not affected the life of humanity upon this earth as powerfully as this one solitary life. That was Dr. James Ellen Francis. And it does beg the question, that one solitary life, amen, that one life, do you have room in your life for him today? Merry Christmas.